Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum. Celebrate the opening of I Saw It, Francisco de Goya Printmaker, with an evening of live music, art making, live model drawing, tours, and more. Saturday, April 20th from 4 to 6:30 p.m. Info at nortonsimon.org.
What we learned investigating the death of Chicano student activist Oscar Gomez.
It sounds like you ran almost every theory to its end.
Binge all 8 episodes of Imperfect Paradise, The Forgotten Revolutionary, wherever you get your podcasts.
Such a pleasure to have you with us on Air Talk. Coming up a little bit later, I want to hear from you. Your favorite fictional depictions of Los Angeles. They can go back decades, or they can be more recent. Literary looks at Los Angeles. We're talking about fiction, where LA is the centerpiece. That's coming up next segment on Air Talk. We'll be with Denise Hamilton, the editor of the new book Speculative Los Angeles, which takes different LA neighborhoods and provides a sort of, in some cases, dystopian futuristic sense of place, but others aren't dystopian, but fascinating look at a kind of speculative sci-fi future of Los Angeles. That's coming up. But right now, it's the very real present with businesses that have received PPP loans from the federal government and those that haven't. If you have a business for which you applied for a PPP loan, I'd like to hear if you got it, if you didn't get it, what the process was like for you, why you think you didn't get it if you didn't, were there barriers for you even to make the application? If you had a small business, you couldn't even get in line for PPP funding. 866-893-KPCC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpcc.org, tweet at AirTalk, or post on the AirTalk Facebook page. Joining me is KPCC LAist correspondent Sharon McNary, who's working with a team on an investigative project looking at how the Paycheck Protection Program was distributed in California. Sharon, good morning.
Good morning.
So share with us some of the things that you're hoping to determine about PPP locally, excuse me.
Yeah, one protects your body and then the other protects your business. The payroll protection program, it was intended to help small businesses that were struggling to stay in business during the pandemic. And we know that lots and lots of businesses closed down, partly because they couldn't access the money to keep their employees paid. And so, you know, when the government does a huge project like this one, the Payroll Protection Program made $523 billion in loans to 5.2 million small businesses to help them keep paying their workers. You know, you want to ask why. You want to know about the data. And so last June, when some of the data about the biggest awards or loans came out, you know, it seemed like big firms were getting more than their fair share. And so reporters nationwide had started asking for the data on all of the loans. That data finally has come out. Our data editor, Dana Amahir, is crunching the numbers. She's a real computer whiz. And so what I'm going to be doing with Dana is kind of overlaying the data on a map to see who got the money and which communities might have been shortchanged.
Well, and there's so many different ways of looking at that data, too. I mean, one of the things that stands out to me for some of the people I know that got PPP funding, it was word of mouth, because maybe the bank that they had long done business with couldn't help them out, but a friend who was able to get funding said, oh, try this, you know, other bank, this little bank that's, you know, giving out loans. You know, I just anecdotally know from a number of people that it was sort of networking. It was word of mouth, which finally led them to find the place where they could get the funding from a particular bank.
Well, and that kind of goes to the heart of the inquiry. You know, the federal government could have given money directly to businesses. Instead, they chose to process the payments through the banks. And, you know, banks don't all behave equally or equitably. Some banks made virtually no loans, we think. And other banks made, you know, loans up to the max of $10 million. And so trying to figure out how the banks did their work. And, you know, they were getting commissions for every loan that they gave out, 1-5% of the value of the loan. Some $18 billion in fees have been paid to banks for the loans that they processed. So it's really a question of, you know, did banks do the work that they should have to make sure that these loans were equitably distributed? You know, we know that lots and lots of small businesses have closed down. And are there, you know, small business people futures that were altered irrevocably by the pandemic because they didn't or couldn't access this money that the government was handing out very, very freely? You could go in, and if you had the right relationship with your banker, get approved the same day with nothing more than just a certification that, hey, you know, we've been affected. You didn't have to show payroll records. Now, some of that has changed to reduce the possibility for fraud, but you had to spend about 60% of the money, initially 75, but 60% of the money on your payroll. And then the rest could be spent on your mortgage and your suppliers. And if you did all that, the money was forgiven. So it was literally free money. Free money.
Yeah.
And we want to know what happened to it.
Well, and again, I've heard stories of people that they thought they had great relationships with their banks, only to find they didn't get PPP because perhaps it went to larger companies, better customers. And Sharon, was there any obligation for the banks to distribute the money equitably, whatever that means, depending on how you slice and dice it? Or were the banks able to choose the customers they knew, they already had the background, they'd already vetted? Could they give priority to those folks?
I'm not super aware of what rules the banks did have or how well they adhered to them. You know, when the government makes a guarantee of a loan available, it's not forcing you, the bank, to make that loan. You know, redlining is such a piece of LA history. You know, going back decades and decades and decades, there were neighborhoods that banks considered too risky to make loans to. And so those are neighborhoods where people who lived there, mostly, you know, underrepresented people, Black, Latino, they couldn't get loans to buy houses if they couldn't get the loans. And so that triggered inequities in wealth accumulation over generations. And so the question really is something similar happening with this other source of money?
Looking at this just racially and ethnically? Is that the lens for this?
That is one of the lenses, yeah. I think that we want to look and see if did two neighborhoods with similar median incomes, one white, one Black, get different amounts of PPP loans?
All right.
Does the map of PPP loans match the redlining maps of old? Good question.
All right. We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. If you applied for a PPP loan for your business, tell us about the process. Tell us whether you got approved or denied. Also, if you can't call in today, Sharon and the team she's working with would like to hear about your experience. There is a link on our AirTalk page where you can do that. Let's talk with Melissa in Pasadena. What was your experience with your PPP application?
Hi, my first experience was very extremely stressful when everything was happening, and in the news you could hear all about, you know, the government extending PPP loans. We were basically ready to apply as the minute it went on. However, we do bank with the larger bank, which is Chase. I must say that it was extremely, extremely stressful because we applied right away when it was supposed to be time for everybody to apply. And the minute we applied, of course, there were no more funds anymore.
Yeah.
And we even contacted our sales rep at Chase, and they kept on saying, oh, you just have to keep on trying, or funds are not available. We even have another company with Bank of America, and we were not even given an option to apply because basically as long as you owe money or had a credit card debt with Bank of America, or we couldn't even basically have an option, even though we were business, had bank account with Bank of America for a long time. It was just unavailable for a small company such as ours. So then it was frustrating because we were not sure if we were going to get money or not, or money was not available, until finally the legislation came out for more funding, and that's when we finally got it. But again, it was so stressful, I couldn't sleep at night. The numbers, I must say that we did have all the numbers in place ready in time, because we do use an accounting company. So everything was, we were prepared to have all the documents. And I must say that for any small business, that's the most important thing. Have all your documents ready. Your bookkeeper, your accountant is able to pull all those numbers for you. As long as you have that, apply right away. For the second round of PPP, a completely different scenario. It was a lot easier. We got an email notifying us that funds were available and we could apply. We applied it online with a link that we got in email through Chase. We applied right away using our 2019 numbers. We applied it, and within a week, we
wow. That's great. Now, Melissa, what kind of a business do you have?
We have an import business for overseas. So our sales have drastically gone down due to, importing from overseas.
All right. Melissa, thank you so much. Appreciate you sharing your experience, particularly that the second one so much easier. And Sharon, I wonder if we're going to find that once the banks figured things out, because this was all so hastily implemented that actually they figured it out.
Well, on the second round, there were new rules imposed that gave a one-week head start to certain lending institutions that focus on underrepresented neighborhoods. And then I think the second week of the loans, there was a focus on opening it to somewhat smaller businesses, I think with like 300 employees rather than 500. And so the rollout of the second round, which started up in January and ends March 31st, acknowledged some of the shortcomings and some of the barriers that some businesses have. And so it made that money a little bit more available. And that first round, the first bunch of money went out in 13 days.
Wow. Let's talk next with Boyle Heights resident Tomas. Thanks very much. What was your experience with your PPP applications?
Well, I went directly. My company's been in business 92 years.
Wow.
We've been banking with Bank of America since 1960, the early 60s. I went directly to the bank, sat there in front of the branch person that was involved and responsible for the PPP loans. And I had them fill out the loan. It didn't get approved. I did it two more times. So all three times right in front of them, and did not get approved at all.
Did you try any other banks, Tomas? Because I did hear from some people who just kept, you know, putting in at multiple banks until they finally got something. Did you try that?
Well, the problem was that I had to give everybody time off because nobody was going to drive into work. And I'm in a business where I physically make my own instruments. And so I had to come in and make up all that extra time and work. And then on top of that, try to figure out how to do this PPP thing. So that's why I went directly to the bank.
Yeah, which you'd been with for decades. Tomas, what kind of business do you have?
I'm a luthier. I hand make guitars.
Wow. And it's a family business passed down?
My grandfather started in 1928, and then my father, and I took over 32 years ago.
Wow. What's the name of the company, Tomas?
Candelas Guitars.
Very good, and congratulations. I love it. What a wonderful L.A. story. Founded in Boyle Heights?
Founded in Mexico, started in Boyle Heights in 1947. But the to stay on point is no assistance, no phone calls, from local officials, from my banks, nobody. Like literally makes you feel like, wow, serving the community and for what? For what?
Tomas, thank you so much. Terrible experience, and particularly disappointing for a company that has been around as long as the one that you lead. Tomas in Boyle Heights with us. Let's talk with Rod in La Habra. Rod, you're on Air Talk. What's your experience?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Our experience was very good. We were lucky and got funded on both rounds. The first round was kind of a runaround because we had banked with Wells Fargo for many, many years, and they had stopped helping anybody unless you had money. So in other words, they only wanted the big business. So we're a small business, education, and so I ended up going through a portal called Kabbage, K-A-B-B-A-G-E.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Have you heard of them?
Yeah.
Really, really great. So filled out the paperwork. Previous caller said, have your paperwork ready. So we had all of our financials ready. I got the money first round in about 3 weeks after I applied. Second round was even easier. They contacted me and said, hey, it's open for funding. You want more money? And so, of course, we did. Got that money in a week.
Wow.
So super easy for us.
Rod, thank you very much. Appreciate you sharing the experiences, both parts. Sharon, your thoughts on what we've heard from our listeners so far?
I don't know people's ethnicities from hearing their voices on the phone, but I suspect that some of the premise might seem validated by this experience. I mean, the first go-round was so hasty and such a mess, and there were so many complaints. But I don't know. I mean, it's really hard for me to say. I mean, this is the beauty of having data. You know, once we have these thousands and thousands of records overlaid on a map, and I can just start going, you know, on a street, business to business, I'll certainly have a better yeah. sense. And get this, if you don't pay back the loan, it's 1% interest over 5 years. Now, you can't get 1% money practically anywhere.
Yeah, I don't know any other place. Dennis in Alhambra says, from what I know, the banks made commission off the loans. So to me, Dennis says, it makes sense they would prioritize bigger companies. Sharon, what do you think?
Well, I mean, that happens to be true. The New York Times did a really excellent analysis, and they said that 1% of the businesses that got PPP loans consumed 25% of the money that was offered in last year's round.
Yeah. Well, and it's so hard to tell about the racial and ethnic thing because there are a lot of employers here in Southern California who the owner of the company may be white, but almost all the employees are Latino. And it may be, you know, because they're not necessarily places where you can tell by location that the employees are Latino. So it's going to make that data even more difficult to come up with because it – unless you know the composition of the work staff of those companies, it's hard to know what it actually meant to everybody who ended up getting money through that because it paid salaries at many places for those employees.
I think, though, what we're looking at is a question of investment in communities. I mean, we'll be able to see the places that the money went and the places that the money did not go. And if you overlay that with census data, with socioeconomic data, ethnic, racial data, I do hope that we get a picture of a very equitable distribution of money. Will we?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just challenging. All I'm saying is it's going to be challenging because Latinos, for example, don't all work in the areas where Latinos reside. And so it's going to skew that data somewhat because of employment patterns beyond just where people live. But it's going to be quite an undertaking. Looking forward to seeing your results as you study this, Sharon.
Oh, thank you. It's really interesting for me to kind of dig into the numbers and write
yeah.
some pivot tables and see what Dana Amahira, our data editor, comes up with.
Sharon McNary, KPCC, LAist correspondent. She's working with a team on an investigative project looking at distribution and equity surrounding the Paycheck Protection Program. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Coming up, the new anthology, Speculative Los Angeles. We'll be talking about the terrific writers who contributed stories to the book. And I want to hear from you. What are your favorite stories, your favorite books about Los Angeles that you really feel captured a sense of place. As I said earlier in the hour, for me, Walter Mosley's book set in South Los Angeles with his detective E.Z. Rollins really brings back the Central Avenue, South Los Angeles, African-American historic community of Los Angeles. I'd like to hear from you. What books you think really capture L.A. in fiction? 866-893-KPCC. We'll be back in 90 seconds.
Support comes from Ciclavia, catalyzing vibrant public spaces, active transportation, and good health through car-free streets. Ciclavia promotes respect and infrastructure for bike and pedestrian-friendly public spaces. Enjoy these pop-up parks for the day in your favorite people-powered way. Jogging, biking, skating, strolling, or simply spectating. Free and open to all, Ciclavia Sundays generate miles of smiles in neighborhoods all over L.A. Details at www.ciclavia.org.